Real Presence Live.
I just want the Lord to show me his love so that I can love the people that he places in my care as a priest.
Local.
That's an empowering thing to make a difference wherever we are.
Engaging.
You're culturally Catholic. You have the things, you have the knowledge, but has it penetrated the heart? Mm-hmm.
Live.
Freedom of religion implies the ability to take that faith out into public life and to live it and to share it with others.
Good morning and welcome to Real Presence Live on this beautiful Thursday morning. I am one of your hosts, Brad Gray, and I am fortunate to be joined once again by my lovely co-host, Janine Bitson. Good morning, Janine.
Good morning, Brad.
What a beautiful day. I'm loving the turn in the weather here a little bit.
Oh, I know. Finally able to thaw out a little bit.
I like that. I'm more of a warm weather, sunny weather and green grass type of guy. So.
Well, even the birds were chirping as I came into the studio this morning like it was spring. It's like even they think like, whoa, this is...
Fantastic. This is great. Well, we are excited to be up for another installment of Real Presence Live, and we're grateful that we get to be sons and daughters of God and to talk about the beautiful realities of the Catholic faith. So let's start this morning off with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Loving Father, you are forever with us. You are forever for us. You are forever leading us home to our heavenly destiny. We ask, Father, that you send your Holy Spirit upon us this morning in our conversation, our discussions, but especially into our hearts, that you draw us closer to you, that you fill us with that joy, that fullness of life for which you have made us. We ask that you bless all the works that you've called us to do, and that we find our great and true joy in our sonship and daughterhood in your heavenly family. We pray this now in the words that your Son Jesus taught us as we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Janine, we have a fantastic show lined up this morning, and we are fortunate to have Gregory running the board for us. Good morning, Gregory.
Good morning, Brad.
And Gregory, you're going to give us an overview of what all's on the docket for today, right?
Yep. So, in the first segment this morning, we'll visit with Jolene Obergewich about a therapeutic working ranch called Home on the Range, and how it helps boys and girls who often come from traumatic experiences have a future as responsible young adults. RCIA candidates Brian and Allie Clark will be with us to talk about their journey to wanting to join the Catholic Church and share their recent experience at the Focus Student Leadership Summit. Grab your bait and your tip-ups. It's time for the annual Knights of Columbus Ice Fishing Derby in Thief River Falls, Minnesota. Robert Baresh will join us to talk about this year's event and how you and your family can join the fun. We'll also join the Diocese of Crookston's Father Jerry Rogers to get an update on efforts to rebuild the historic St. Mary's Mission Church in Red Lake, Minnesota, after it burned to the ground in early December. And our Made for Greatness men's segment is back. Nathan Sather will share how natural family planning has improved his marriage and family life. That's all coming up today.
Awesome. Thanks, Gregory.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's get this thing started. We are happy to be joined this morning, as Gregory said, by Jolene Obergewich. Good morning to you, Jolene.
Well, good morning, Brad and Janine. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for taking time to be with us this morning.
My pleasure.
So, Jolene, many people may not know that January is actually known as National Mentoring Month. And the work that you do for the therapeutic working ranch called Home on the Range is right in line with that. It helps boys and girls who come from traumatic experiences. Can you tell us a little bit about Home on the Range and the work that they do?
Oh, I'd love to. So we're actually located in western North Dakota near a small town near Sentinel Butte. And like you said, it is a working ranch. So we have about 1,400 acres with horses and cattle and dogs and cats and things. But the children that come to Home on the Range are both boys and girls, ages 12 to 18, and they come from all over the state of North Dakota. And really the backgrounds that they have are, as you said, traumatic. That's the clinical word. But when I read some of the history of these kids and how many life's challenges they have faced and maybe failed, and they've been moved from foster home to foster home for other placements. It's really it's really despairing. And so it is our goal to help these kids, give them some different coping skills, some and love, and recognize that as a human person, they have the right for, they have earned dignity and love of others, and so that they can take these skills with them when they leave home on the range and become not successful citizens, but just successful in their own minds, so that they know how to deal with life's challenges. And so here at Home on the Range, we have a chance to get them to school on a daily basis. We can meet any therapeutic needs that they might need. But then we also have our own chapel and here. And so the spiritual guidance is especially important to get these kids on the right path.
You know, you had mentioned about how each one has the dignity and that they're loved by God. I can only imagine for a lot of these young men and women, these boys and girls, that that's a tough message for them to actually get when they've come through a lot of trauma. Is that accurate?
Oh, absolutely. The things that they have experienced, you know, it may have been to themselves personally. Maybe they've witnessed some drug and alcohol abuse through their family or domestic violence. Or even probably more empathetic is maybe there wasn't any supervision, parental supervision, love. And so there was, you know, some neglect. And they were just yearning and seeking for that acknowledgement, that love, that respect. And what they may have seen might be different than what you and I may think as love and respect. And so, again, it's that dignity of themselves that we would like to teach.
That is so wonderful, Jolene. There's such a need in this area, this ministry. And I'm curious, how did you become involved with Home on the Range?
Well, you know, honestly, it was kind of a fluke. I knew about Home on the Range because my husband rodeoed, and so we would come to the annual Champions Ride Rodeo. And then I was kind of in between jobs, and there was an opening for a part-time foundation secretary. And while I was doing that, there was an opportunity to apply for the development director position. And I felt I had some experience in doing special events and public speaking, so I thought I could do that. What caught me by surprise is while I was doing the development director position in these fundraising things and public speaking, I would invite some of the children to accompany me and tell their testimonials. And then I would get to know them on a real personal basis and really found, I guess, a calling, so to speak. I'm now been here 19 years, and I had no idea that I would be here that long. And it's just the reward that we get knowing that we have an indirect impact on these kids, but getting to know them on a personal basis. And they actually went to school with my son here in Beach. And so I got to know them as just regular teenagers also, where they played football with my son. They played basketball. They saw him in the hallways and, you know, having a sense of humor with them. So I got to be kind of the Aunt Jolene around here. And to me, that just means the world to me, just to have that kind of relationship with the kids.
You know, it's so incredible that you've had this experience, and all, I'm sure, many, many blessings that you have received through your work with these wonderful, wonderful young people. It's such a need out there in the world today. You know, I think it's such a busy life. A lot of times we have two working parents, and not being against that by any means, but there's just such an important need for children to have that relationship with their parents or with another mentoring adult. That's why it's so neat to talk to you during National Mentoring Month and how you're helping these students.
You are so correct, Janine, and that is one of our key components is the relationship building and mentoring. And, you know, because the bond of trust with these kids have been broken in so many different ways. And so it's to establish a basic relationship. And sometimes that is just a mere mentoring or role modeling. This is how we expect you to act at school. This is how we expect you to act in the chapel. But the relationship building can be with any of our employees. So it's starting out with maybe the dorm staff because they see them the most frequently. But it could also be their social worker because they confide a lot of things in with their social worker, their case manager, their therapist. But it could also be with a farm manager. Maybe the child has a love for animals, and you know, and that's just a natural relationship that you with animals, with the horses and the dogs. And so then that might transfer with the farm manager. But the neat thing about the relationships and the mentoring, the role modeling, is that we see that come out of the kids themselves. And so after they've been here for the time, the children themselves become role models and mentor the newer kids. Mm. And we have a great example of that is, well, two actually. The first is what we have is called a resident board. And so there's three boys and three girls, which are chosen by the other boys and girls to kind of lead the population. And so they're in a role modeling and mentoring position. You know, these are the rules we expect you to follow at school. These are the rules we want you to follow in the dorms. These are the activities we're going to do. So they do things like that. But I think one of the most rewarding thing for our staff is when they are nominated for a Starfish Award. And what, before each child leaves home on the range, they're given a short questionnaire. And the Starfish Award goes back to the Starfish story. If we can make a difference in just one child's life, we have saved that child, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so which staff had the most, meant the most to you, you know, in the relationship, in the mentoring? And why? Was it because they were there to listen? Was it because they were there for, you know, we went on a camping trip and I got to know them on a personal level? Or was it because you helped me reunite with my family? Every child has their own different reason, but then the employee is given that acknowledgement and a Starfish pin to proudly wear on their jacket or display in their office. And we have several staff that have many Starfish awards, and they are so proud of those because that means, just like the poem says, they truly did make a difference in that child's life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. So when you're talking about, you know, these kids coming from the traumatic experience and how you work toward building relationships, I can imagine that that's not an automatic thing. And I'm curious, is the approach that you take is different as the child is in front of you, or are there certain common ways that you begin going about building those relationships, or what, how do you begin to approach when a new child comes in to start building a relationship and establishing that sort of mentoring reality?
Right. Well, the first thing and foremost, we need to let the child know he is safe. He and she is safe here. Nothing will happen to them. That is kind of a concern for some of the kids from what are the environments they have been in. And then it's just actually shadowing with them, you know, talking to them in the dorm. The dorm staff will actually form basic relationships, friendships, basically, mm-hmm. how to start, and expanding that. And I'm not a clinical or person or a social worker, but I could see the effect that it has on our therapy that they participate in. Because remember, I talked about we're working ranch, and so we have farm animals. We have horses and cattle and dogs. And that's just a natural relationship. And so we actually have what's called animal-assisted therapy, and it's using those animals maybe as a tool. Hmm. In part of the therapy session, it's very hard to explain very quickly, but the kids really don't realize that they're doing therapy, so to speak, and so they're given a task or a goal. Maybe it's to train the dog to sit, or maybe it's to catch a horse, whatever it is, but they can actually tie those emotions in the adventures or the equine therapy to what's happening to them. And so when they make that natural trust relationship with the animal, they can transfer that to a social worker, to their family, to their, you know, to the back, to their communities. And then the other thing is that it teaches them is we try to teach them there are other ways to face life's challenges. We don't know what God's going to give us each and every day. Sometimes it's good things, sometimes it's not good things, sometimes it's challenge. We don't know why, we don't know the reason. But there are other ways to manage and internalize our behavior rather than what they have experienced, you know, whether it was the hurt, whether it was the physical hurt, whether it was the sadness, the anger, we don't know. But there are other ways that we could maybe cope. So maybe it's talking to a friend. Maybe it's taking a walk. I mean, maybe something that this morning, I don't know if you saw, but there was the absolutely most beautiful sunrise this morning I have seen in weeks. So just acknowledging that there are other ways to react to life's challenges. And in that, it's also teaching that the children that there are natural consequences. You know, so like in school, if you're not doing well, I guess the natural consequence would maybe you need extra help. So maybe ask your dorm staff, ask a teacher, ask if you could go to study hall. Maybe there's a peer that can help you, tutoring. So asking for help is a real big one for these kids to overcome, because sometimes they've asked for help and not received it. And so it's our job to be there for whatever their need is. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense, Jolene. And I think it's really neat, you know, getting that routine, that schedule, you know, the expectations for behavior, you know, the importance of education, all those things. But you had touched note on the spiritual component. Can you elaborate a little more on how you nurture the students that are there in the spiritual component?
Right. So we are a faith-based organization. We're under the Bismarck Diocese, and we have two wonderful ladies that work in our chapel with the youth, Swenda Braden and Peggy Helvig. And there's lots of things that they can invite the children to do to participate in the spiritual department. So it might be morning prayer. It might be a prayer group. It might be, I'm trying to think, we had some special speakers that come. The girls have done prayer boards. They, you know, they're invited to actually just go into the chapel and meet with the ladies one-on-one. We do take the children to church of their choice in the local beach community. And once they do get involved, we try to take sometimes two students to the search weekends at the Badlands Ministry Camp. And I've been here for, you know, almost 19 years, and I could say it's when the child is involved in the spiritual program that we see the real healing and acceptance and forgiveness begin in the kids. And that's when you really see a change in their physical appearance, their emotional appearance, their physiological appearance. I mean, you could just see it all over. And actually, I was just working on something yesterday and on a marketing piece, and one of the young ladies had written her experience in the spiritual department. And if I could read a quick bit of it, sure. I think that just ties in perfectly about her experience. But she says, I while at Home in the Range, I've learned a lot. I've learned that a lot of people have had it way worse than me. For instance, Jesus, he was hurt and rejected and died on a cross, and he did it for me. I realized that my beauty comes from the inside of me and people like me. When I first came to Home on the Range, I was depressed about everything. I didn't want anything to do with anyone. I hated everyone, even God. Why would he put me somewhere with all these strangers? I just didn't understand it, but now I do. He put me at Home on the Range so I could find myself. I have found hope, love, and faith.
Wow.
And I think that is the empowering message that touches our kids when they do get involved with the spiritual component. Yeah. And it actually is one of our key component programs that they are involved in some aspect, because we do see the internal growth, the forgiveness of others, the acceptance of others, and then to realize that they are loved by us, the Home on the Range employees, their parents, their families, the communities that support them, and themselves. I mean, that's a really tough thing.
That is incredible, Jolene. That is so wonderful, because when we ourselves, you know, even without trauma and so forth in our lives, when we fail to realize our human dignity and that we are children of God, that's when things aren't going so hot.
Right.
You know, when we can recognize we're a child of God and really believe that, we can take on anything. And so that's why I asked about the spiritual component, because it's so vital. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Jolene, I want to thank you for the work that you and all those who are at Home on the Range are doing for these young people. This is absolutely fantastic. We applaud you, and we pray for you, and we certainly encourage people to get to become aware of this. Are there ways that people can be involved? We've only got about 20 seconds, but if you can be real.
Okay. Yep, absolutely. You could check out our website. I think that was in your email blast. Yep. Come out and visit us or give us a call if you want to learn more about. We do have a couple other people besides myself that could speak to you. Subscribe to our newsletter. We put an article in the Dakota Catholic Action. So, yeah, there's so many ways to learn about us. But, fantastic. Yes, thank you for your support. And please keep praying for the children and the staff of Home on the Range.
Thank you, Jolene. That's awesome. So that website is HOTRND. That's Home on the Range, the abbreviation for Home on the Range, North Dakota, HOTRND.com. So go and check that out. Jolene, thanks so much for being on with us this morning, and thanks for the awesome work that you guys are doing.
My honor. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, God bless you, and we look forward to talking to you again in the future.
All right. I look forward to that.
All right. We're going to have to step away real quickly, but we will be back on the other side of this break with Brian and Allie Clark, who will be talking about their journey with RCIA and the Focus Conference. Stay with us.
Stay with us. There's more Real Presence Live to come on the Real Presence Radio Network.
The Wanzek Family Foundation has proudly supported the mission of Real Presence Radio since 2004. With their help, we've been able to continue spreading Jesus Christ's message of hope throughout North Dakota, Minnesota, South Dakota, and Wisconsin. The Wanzek Family Foundation is dedicated to supporting Catholic initiatives and programs like our weekly local show, Real Presence Live, heard on Tuesdays and Thursdays with the encores on Saturdays. Thank you to the Wanzek Family Foundation for being a part of this family of faith and hope.
This is Bishop John Folda of the Diocese of Fargo. I enjoy listening to Catholic radio because it gives me an opportunity to hear from people all across the country about their own experiences of faith. There are so many marvelous men and women out there who are sharing their own life stories, their faith stories. There are so many people that have such important questions, and these all come across Catholic radio. It's been a real blessing to me personally to be able to hear from these folks and to respond to their questions, and also to just be inspired simply by the faith stories that I've heard from so many others who have spoken very openly, very freely, and very powerfully about their faith lives. Catholic radio is a real blessing to me, and I'm sure it will be to many of you as well.
Sixty on 10 with Monsignor Charles Pope.
The first commandment, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no strange gods before me. In this commandment, God seeks to protect us from false claimants to our worship and obedience. And there's a great sad history of people who have trusted in gods other than him or things other than him and the ruin that it has caused. So God is trying to protect us and call us to an absolute trust and obedience of him. He asks us to trust him above all things and above all other people or so-called gods. We have to also avoid things like consulting horoscopes, palm reading, clairvoyance, recourse to mediums, any desire to try to control things apart from God. God simply says, trust me, I'm the Lord your God. I am the first commandment. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no strange gods before me.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
You're listening to Real Presence Radio. Now, back to Real Presence Live.
And we are back with more Real Presence Live, and we're so grateful that you are with us as well. We are now going to be given the privilege of talking with Brian and Allie Clark. Brian and Allie are going through the RCIA program at Holy Spirit Church in Fargo. And unlike many people going through RCIA, they actually got the awesome experience of also going to the Focus Student Leadership Summit conference that took place the first week of the year. And so we're very grateful. Good morning, guys. We're happy that you're here.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So now, you guys, first of all, Brian, we'll start with you. What began to generate this idea for you guys? You're already married. What began to generate the idea of joining the Catholic Church?
You know, the right answer here might be to turn this over to Allie.
Okay, well, let's do that.
Okay, well, I'm really fortunate enough that I've had a lot of great friends who have been Catholic, you know, their whole life. But we never kind of took it to that next level about talking about our faith. Both Brian and I have been raised Lutheran. Mm. But it was 3 years ago, my parents told us we're taking RCIA classes. We didn't even know what RCIA meant. Mm-hmm. So that really opened up for us, okay, you know, we're raised Lutheran by you. So really opened up all sorts of conversations, yeah. Deeper, you know, what do we believe in and why, really? Sure. So for me, it was probably a year after my parents became Catholic that I started just thinking, okay, for myself at least, there's something to this, mm-hmm. You know? I've seen the change in them, and it... you can't deny how God guided them. It's, we'll see what happens. And for Brian, I know he's his own take on that at yeah. least, but
yeah, so it was pretty incredible. You know, I know Allie came home from a road trip with her mother. And we all know that if you spend time with anyone who's Catholic, mm-hmm. we kind of know what's bound to happen. Right. And so, so she came home and she was listening to a few podcasts. Bishop Barron specifically
yeah. oh, sure.
played a huge role for us, and she would have it on. And, you know, I was slow to understand, maybe, but you can't argue with truth,
mm-hmm.
right? And so from there, it just kind of led to, you know, a lot of listening to Catholic radio,
yeah.
a lot of EWTN, Real Presence Radio, Catholic Answers, a lot of opportunities just to learn more and more. I've told people I think I was kind of a closet Catholic in a way for quite a while because I couldn't get enough.
Yeah.
I still can't.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know, I got the privilege, Brian, of just providentially meeting you and Allie's father mm-hmm. and brother at the Men's Thirst Conference in Bismarck back this fall. And it was just fun talking mm-hmm. to your dad, Allie, because he's just on fire. He's so enthusiastic. Yes. It was just neat here. I can see mm-hmm. where that would begin to at least cause you to think, well, what is it about this?
Cause yeah. Oh, absolutely. Great. Yeah. And that's how we kind of feel in this journey. I mean, now we've started with the RCA back in September, and we have felt the same way. And although we're not fully Catholic mm-hmm. yet, we consider, you know, we catch ourselves being like, oh, wait, we're not Catholic yet, but we're already like thinking of people, you know, yeah. oh, we want them to become Catholic.
That's fabulous. I work with RCIA here at the cathedral. And I guess I should mention too, because you had said, I don't even know what RCIA is. There are maybe listeners that don't know either. It stands for Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults. So there, that question's answered for everyone. But I work with the program at St. Mary's Cathedral in Fargo as well. And we've got a family that came into the church 4 or 5 years ago. And every year thereafter, they brought in more people. And it's like, oh, you got to come check this out. It's yeah. just like, it's fantastic. They're just multiplying themselves over and over again.
So. Well, and I think as someone who was born Catholic and raised Catholic, I find that some of my greatest growth is from learning from people who have become Catholic. You know, so I really have a huge respect and appreciation mm-hmm. for individuals who have decided to take that RCIA journey. My dad grew up Baptist. And he's one of the most amazing Catholics I know. And I just have learned so much from him. And so it's just really cool when they present the RCIA candidates during Mass at mm-hmm. church. I actually, and for those who know me out there, they know I get kind of weepy in those special mm-hmm. situations, but I do need to have Kleenex on those days
because
yeah. it is really awesome. It's so cool.
Yeah. No, you know, I've been working with RCIA for 15 years now, and it's always fascinating to learn what are the things, like you had mentioned this interaction with family was something that began to generate the idea, but there's always a particular draw that people think, that's appealing. That's intriguing. What was it for each of you? Allie, what is there something in particular about the Catholic Church that was tugging at your heart?
You know, yes. We had been kind of church shopping, mm-hmm. as they call it, for 4 years. And for whatever reason, certain messages, certain things just didn't sit right with us. And I really felt like it was just spiritually dry. God mm-hmm. wasn't guiding us anywhere. And so then with my parents, you know, we're exploring, you know, learning more about their Catholic faith. And it just hit me. It's like the truth. You mm-hmm. can't deny truth. And even the first time I heard Bishop Barron speaking, it's like this mixture of like complete truth and confidence, but mm-hmm. with love, and in a way that just drew me in. And then any little, you know, thing that we were going through in our life, we just like look up how, you know, what's the Catholic response to this, and sure. we'd agree to it, and you know, completely like, yeah, I didn't even realize I thought this, but I do. It just really fit. And I think I'm thankful being raised Lutheran, it's similar enough where mm-hmm. it didn't seem too drastically, you know, different.
Sure.
But it's just been, and I could go on and on, but yeah, no, it's just great. Been a fullness of, and that's just been
awesome.
Yeah, so neat.
That's so neat. I was just going to ask, though, you know, you had mentioned Bishop Barron several times, and he happened to celebrate Mass at the mm-hmm. SLS mm-hmm. conference. So tell me, like, how did that feel?
Oh.
incredible, to say the least, right? To be in person, to have that experience. Mm-hmm. And that's really what it all comes back to, I think, within the whole entirety of the Catholic faith for us, is it's been this incredible, wonderful, full, rich experience. Mm-hmm. You know, we can read, there's an incredible intellectual side to it, but there is such, you know, Allie mentioned that relational aspect, and this amazing interpersonal relationship with Jesus,
yeah,
and with so many believers too. And I think that was, for me, that was my maybe biggest draw to the church, was it knows what it stands for and why. Mm-hmm. And in a world where we've got a lot of gray area, maybe, yeah, to put it nicely, it was so refreshing to have a full body of believers saying, this is what we believe in.
A firm ground to stand on.
Yes, mm-hmm. And we're willing to live it out in a certain way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was kind of funny when you talk about Bishop Barron celebrating Mass at SLS. Bishop John Folda from the, yes, Diocese of Fargo also was a celebrant for Mass. And I was, that was actually perhaps one of the more distressing moments at SLS for me, because mm-hmm. it's like, you know, we're a small diocese, so we've got this inferiority complex. So it's like, keep your grubby archdiocesan paws off our bishop. We don't want anyone knowing about him. So,
you know, and oh man, Brad, you saying that, I watched it. I watched that Mass on Facebook, actually, and I absolutely love Bishop Folda and everything he's done for our diocese. But yeah, you worry about that, but then, you know, it's in God's hands, and you know, who knows, maybe you'll be Pope someday.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
I, of course, priests have said, don't wish that on me.
You want to be nice.
Yeah.
So, Brian, were there any, as you guys have been exploring Catholicism, for you, were there any hurdles? Were there any obstacles? I mean, a lot of times people have a struggle with Mary, or they'll have a struggle with going to confession, or the infallibility of the Pope, and things like that. A lot of times for people, it'll be moral stances, but it sounds like for you guys, that was actually part of the draw. Were there any obstacles that you've encountered in your path toward Catholicism?
Yeah, I think, you know, more or less, I felt like throughout my life, there was almost this anti-Catholic sentiment, maybe. And I found that every issue that I may have had that I addressed and I searched, I found an answer that I found to be, you know, acceptable or fulfilling in that way. Maybe the biggest thing for me was the idea of the establishment of a church, and how much power does that have in this day and age? You know, where is that responsibility to lead? Is it relevant? Is it necessary?
It's not a notion that's very popular in the modern mindset.
No, I think we have the idea, of course, that freedom is our own, and freedom comes from being able to do whatever we want. And,
right.
And I've heard it repeatedly now from a lot of great Catholic speakers and people that, you know, often that is the opposite of the freedom that we are looking for.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, for you, Allie, were there any difficulties or struggles along the way?
Like I said, having from, I mean, kindergarten through college, really great friends, Catholic, I had a very trusting, loving relationship, and I mean, the truthfully is they come from the most loving, big families. And I always found that comforting. But I think I, for myself, just wanted to say, oh, saved by grace. I didn't want to to think about, you know, further than that. I just really liked that I could cling to that separation of, okay, well, you know, and almost a thing where now we see so much in society of, yeah, that's good for you, this is good for me, but clearly, where did that lead us? Looking for churches for 4 years, and I knew certain things that I wanted, and I know we've heard the terms too of just having a set of rules is really where your freedom is, you know, it gives, and that's exactly how I feel. I mean, and maybe rules isn't the right term here, but it has opened my life up. I feel like I've changed so much in the last year and a half. Brian always says that too. He's like, this is the Catholic Alley coming out.
Yeah. I used to do all the talking with people. I feel I know, and now you can't stop her. She's, you know,
that's
fantastic. Mm-hmm. That is wonderful. You know, and it is so true. You know, it's it seemed like the greatest thing that maybe holds people off might be like, oh, you have so many strict rules. Mm-hmm. And it's rules with love. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so cool when you kind of unpack the truths of the faith and why the moral rules that we have is to help prevent the slippery slope of all this hurt and pain that you can undergo if you go that way. So it is really a beautiful thing about our church that has been constant through the ages.
So now we've kind of hinted at or talked a little bit around the fact that you guys got to go to the Focus SLS, the Student Leadership Summit, here the first week of the year. What was that like for you guys? Allie, you started off.
That was amazing. We knew very little about it, and so to see 8,000, mostly, you know, younger people, just on fire. And it was great because we felt that just between the two of us going through the RCA process of, oh, we'll just sit and talk to each other nonstop about it. Mm-hmm. So to be around other people that are just on fire, mm-hmm. it was so encouraging. But to start out every day with Mass, I mean, I'd been to more Protestant-based conferences and camps before, mm-hmm. but this, it was such a amazing, and nothing like I've ever been before with, you know, the reverence, such, you know, deep yeah. reverence and, you know, adoration and mm-hmm. everything, but to still get to be fed with everything that was offered there was, yeah, unbelievable.
You know, isn't it amazing when you're with that many people, and I've had it at the March for Life and rallies we've gone to, but you'll have 10,000 people in an auditorium, and there, you can hear pin drop during adoration. It's just like, wow. You know, there's just nothing to... There's no words to explain it.
Yeah, and I have to say, this conference, I've been to a bunch of conferences, a bunch of Catholic conferences, sure. and this one was particularly grace-filled, for me at least. It just, you felt the Holy Spirit, and the Lord was at work in my heart, in my professional life, and yeah, so it was very, very powerful. I totally get what you're saying. How about you, Brian?
Yeah, you know, Allie mentioned it, but with, I think the secular world would rather have you not know that there's an entire generation out there that whose hearts are really on fire. Mm-hmm. You know, we it's so easy to be distracted by the technology, you know, everything that's going on with social media, a lot of negativity out there, and here we're 8,000 people dedicated to the Lord, you know, and it was just, I was awestruck so often.
Yeah.
And I thought, again, I'm going to hit on Bishop Barron a million times, maybe, but you know, he ended his talk with saying, remind the world who the king is, right? Mm-hmm. Who their king is. And that was on full display throughout the entire conference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great. Mm-hmm. So there were a lot of really fantastic topics that they addressed. Are there some other takeaways that you guys are brought home with you from the conference? Anything, Allie, that comes to mind for you?
Absolutely. There were so many. I think the biggest, and since we're going on this journey, we've been so excited. We just want everybody in our life to be where we're at. Mm-hmm. And we realize it really has to come down to spending time in prayer and loving. You know, where mm-hmm. is this coming from? A place of love. So for me, that was my biggest takeaway of, you know, it's easy to love the people you like, mm-hmm. but really I just have to be focusing on love. And I think there was a quote of, talk to Jesus about your friends, not, or before.
Yeah, yeah, before you talk to your friend about Jesus, talk to Jesus about your friend, right?
There you go, yes. And yeah. that hit me. And it really is true, though, because we kind of had a list in mind of, you know, friends that I think, hey, they might, you know, be open to this. And God's done the work. They've either texted me, I've ran into them. Hmm. I mean, it's been unbelievable of just being open. And yeah, God's kind of doing the work in that. Awesome. So it's, yeah.
How about you, Brian?
Yeah, as far as, you know, evangelization, that's the whole idea of the conference. And I think I went in with the idea that if I approach people in a certain way, you know, I can help change them and it'll make my life a lot easier, you know, and that's, you know, so missing the heart of mm-hmm. what we're really called to do in prayer and in relationship with Christ. You know, I thought the role that we all play in and amongst each other is so powerful when it's based on our relationship with God. Mm-hmm. You know, Sister Bethany Madonna spoke at the conference, and she told a very powerful story of, she brought up the film It's a Wonderful Life, yeah. and talked about, you know, George Bailey, the main character, and the fact that when he wasn't around, so the angel has said to him, you know, strange, isn't it? Each man's life touches so many others' lives. When he isn't around, it leaves an awful hole, doesn't mm-hmm. it? You know, and I thought, how often are we almost afraid maybe to make that relationship with others, to take that step, to really dedicate ourselves to doing things in a certain way?
Mm-hmm. I got to say, you guys are somewhat at an advantage over us cradle Catholics, because you're discovering something in your adulthood. You're realizing that this is something valuable, something worth pursuing, and that you... you know, sort of more naturally have that desire to share that with other people. Mm-hmm. Whereas a struggle for a cradle Catholic is, you know, we were born with this, mm-hmm. we grew up with this, we're kind of comfortable, you know, mm-hmm. getting outside of myself and sharing that with other people is something that takes, in one sense, a lot more intentionality for, it just doesn't well up from within a lot of mm-hmm. times for a Catholic. So that's just awesome to see that out of you guys. Yeah.
Thank you. No, that's just been an amazing journey. Like you said, it's come so natural. We do feel that mm-hmm. we are at an advantage. So.
Oh, that's fantastic. So for those non-Catholics listening right now, you know, what would you like to say to them about exploring the Catholic Church? Allie, why don't we start with you?
I would say just be open. I think that's kind of where we were on our journey. And yeah, it was being open for probably a year and a half before mm-hmm. we really decided, okay, we're going to go full in. But just listening to the Spirit, you know, it doesn't have to be a decision, you know, made in a matter of a day or even month or year. Just be open, see where the Spirit's guiding.
All right, we got 30 seconds, Brian. Go bring it home.
For me, I heard so much about this fullness of the faith, you know, and to me that was so overwhelming right away. But, you know, with time, prayer, faith, study, I think what was initially off-putting then became overwhelming and then became beautiful.
Awesome. I love that.
And for all of us, it's even us cradle Catholics, we need to continue growing and learning, and we'll never know it all. You know, but we keep striving for that fullness.
You guys are fantastic. It's great to have you as brothers and sisters in the faith. Fellow sons and daughters of God. And we applaud you on your journey. And we're excited to see the way the Lord works through you in the lives and hearts of people around you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for being with us this morning. It's always heartbreaking how quickly it goes. But
I know.
But this has been fantastic. So.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. We're going to have to step away for a couple moments again. And on the other side of this break, we're going to be back with Robert Baresh, who's going to be talking about the annual KC Ice Fishing Derby in Thief River Falls. So stay with us. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Live, engaging, and local. That's Real Presence Live on the Real Presence Radio Network.
Programming on Real Presence Radio is sponsored in part by Mayo Pharmacy in Bismarck. At Mayo Pharmacy, we're proud to be here to serve you. We're pro-life and pro-family. We respect all human dignity while providing for your individual needs. And we're now remodeled with new Catholic gifts for all ages, including Mystic Monk Coffee, Holy Heroes Adventure Guides, and Cat Chat for Kids. Mayo Pharmacy, located at 303 North 4th Street in Bismarck. You can call 701-223-2424.
Well, I think number one is the life of prayer. I mean, because prayer brings us in this relationship with the Lord. And if we're not praying every day, if we're not seeking the Lord every single day, then we're not... If we want Jesus to be our best friend, then we have to engage a relationship where we really want a best friend. Mm-hmm. And if that's not happening, none of the other things will fall into place. So it begins desiring this intimate relationship with Jesus as much as he desires it with us. And then responding, you know, when you fell in love with your wife, for example, right? Mm-hmm. Or your wife-to-be, mm-hmm. and you got married, that love said this, "Honey, I will do anything for you." Right?
Right?
I will do anything for you, even give my life away for you. Well, when we fall in love with Jesus, that's the natural conversion of our hearts to say, "Lord Jesus, I will do anything for you. Just tell me what it is, and I'll do it."
Well, this is Doug Keck, and this is an EWTN Bookmark Brief. I just had the pleasure of talking with Father Joseph Mary Wolfe, MFVA, our chaplain here at EWTN, about a new book by Mother Angelica, a compilation of some of her mini books on Christ and Our Lady, and it's published by EWTN. Father Joseph, give us a quick synopsis mm-hmm. of what this book's about and how it was put together.
I think it's a good way to enter into Mother's own personal meditations. As she would be praying before the Blessed Sacrament, she would reflect on our Lord, reading through the Scriptures, and really dig deeply and picture it in her own mind and come to some spiritual conclusions that I think people will find helpful. She talked about in his sandals, for example, how Jesus lived out the Beatitudes, so he's our example. And then she gives practical examples of how we can live that out in our own lives.
And this has been an EWTN Bookmark Brief. Look for the entire interview with Father Joseph coming up soon on Bookmark. Join us next time. See you then.
You're listening to Real Presence Live on the Real Presence Radio Network. Join in the conversation on our Facebook page and be sure to like us for more great Catholic content. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Real Presence Live. We are just blessed this morning, are we not?
Yeah, Janine? We sure are. Wow, what an incredible first hour that we're having.
We're waiting on Robert Baresh, but in the meantime, I'd like to talk a little bit about our last guest, Brian and Allie, and what a privilege that is. Well, not only for us to hear their story briefly, albeit, but just to see that witness of faith, of enthusiasm, excitement, in living out the faith and sharing the faith with other people. In my 15 years of working with RCIA, that's been one of the great privileges, is seeing people just ignited.
Yeah, it is. It's something that it's just a constant reminder for us who have grown up in the faith, you know, to be on fire mm-hmm. and alive and feel that joy. And you know, there are those moments where you go into those kind of dry spells, you know, growing up Catholic. And we need, and they just do such a constant reminder of going, wow, this is so awesome. And you're like, yeah, it really is.
Yeah,
you know, and
yeah.
to be more intentional and to continue to grow.
Yeah, and I got to say, Focus is doing a fantastic work with lighting that fire
yeah.
within the hearts and minds of young people around the country here. They're exploding, you know.
It is really amazing. And you know, my daughter Liz is a Focus missionary, and she's out of Winona State, and it was so cool just being able to hear her take
mm-hmm.
and her. Oh, just she was just so excited every day that she would talk to me about, and this happened, and this, and
yeah.
you know, it's just really, really cool. And then, of course, my son Daniel and his wife Regina were able to go with a contingent from Holy Spirit, and
awesome.
And the experience they had. So it was really, really fun. Not just to see it on Facebook and listen to the masses, but then also to hear from your own children.
Right.
You know. How incredible it was.
And, you know, being there was powerful in that you heard how Curtis Martin, one of the founders of the main founder of Focus, along with Dr. Edward Sree, who we're going to have coming here to Fargo in April for a conference, for our Redeemed Called by Name conference, they talked about how it was 20 years ago that they had started with 20 people in a room. And started kind of writing Bible studies the night before and then delivering them the next day. And you know, they had their first little conference with like 20 people or whatever. And now, 20 years later, you're looking at 8,000 people
yeah.
sitting out there. It was just massive. We were at McCormick Place in Chicago. And the thing is, like, more than four blocks, this conference center. And it, just utterly enormous. And like I said, it was so powerfully Spirit-filled that it's hard to put into words.
Yeah.
And so it's just what a testament to the way the Lord is working through Focus.
It really is. And even when you think of Focus from last year to this next coming mm-hmm. year, you know, they had their training at Ave Maria down in Florida for all their Focus missionaries. Now this year they literally have to split it
yeah.
up into two locations. And even on my daughter's team, she's got, I think there are four people in their Bible study groups who are applying for Focus.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's just like yep. Winona State, you
yeah.
know? And you think of how many campuses across the country. It's grown so much,
right.
I don't even have an exact number.
It's possible that some of our listeners are not familiar with Focus. We've
yeah.
spoken about it many times, but Focus stands for the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. They're a ministry and outreach by young Catholics to young Catholics, to college students on college campuses. I believe they're in something like 200 campuses right now, or maybe it's 200 missionaries. I forget exactly what the story is.
No, it's over 200 campuses, because okay. I know there's over 600 missionaries.
Okay.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, and there's the waiting list for colleges to
right.
get them to come in
uh-huh.
is enormous. And so it's just, it has exploded, and you see they're training young people not only to meet Christ in the Scriptures and to begin the life of prayer, but to pursue excellence in their life in general, and to start leadership. And one of the great things that they go about is this work of discipleship, this mm-hmm. one-on-one mentoring,
right.
which is, I was struck by that in our first segment with Jolene Obergewicz on this the Home on the Range, and how that's really what they're doing there,
mm-hmm.
is they're doing this mentorship, this investing in people individually and helping them to know that they are unique and loved and that they're valuable
mm-hmm.
and that they also have a mission.
And I think the key word in both of those segments that we had is the word relationship,
mm-hmm.
because that's what we're all called to do, is to have a deeper relationship with Christ and
right.
with our God. And so it's when we, when you think about what does it take for a relationship to be really successful, and it's that trust and that respect, and there's a responsibility in that relationship, and of course, the greatest fruit of all, there's that wonderful love and belonging.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is just really neat how Focus does this, and it's definitely based on relationship and with mentoring young people, helping them to understand that they are a child of God.
Right.
You know, that's the key. And,
you know, having gone to the Convocation of Catholic Leaders that took place in Orlando back in July,
which was a gathering of the vast majority of the dioceses across the country. We had five of the six cardinals from our nation there. We had something like 150 bishops. We had, you know, hundreds and hundreds of priests. It was 3,000 people that were gathered. And it was fascinating to me because nearly each diocese sent a delegation to this event, which was all focused around Pope Francis's encyclical on the gospel it's the Evangelii Gaudi, the joy of the gospel. And it was specifically focused on America. And there were kind of two main themes. One was going out into the peripheries, to those that are overlooked, which is really the work of Home on the Range,
right,
along with so many other great institutions out there that are trying to focus, throw the spotlight on people who are completely forgotten and overlooked. But the other one is just this aspect of missionary discipleship, that it's not really enough in the current era to just throw together a program, to throw in a DVD and have people sit in front of a DVD, but that what people are like needing, especially as we become more so-called connected through the digital world, and yet at the same time isolated, that what people are really needing is the concrete involvement of another human being in their life.
The invitation.
To incarnationally manifest right. Jesus to them. And that has to be the way that the church moves forward in this 21st century, is this work of discipleship. And so that's been really fantastic. Focus is leading the way in our nation in terms of discipleship. But it was thrilling to me and astounding that it didn't even need to be argued for that that this is what the church needs to be about. You know, not just running more programs. And programs can be very, very valuable. It can be a great way of getting information to people and so on. But it's not merely information that people need. People need Christ. Awesome. Well, we are fortunate now to be joined by Robert. Robert, good morning. What's that? Mike Wavra. And Mike, are you here to share with us about the Knights of Columbus Ice Fishing Derby?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about the derby that's coming up.
Well, this is the 61st annual fishing derby here in Thief River Falls. It's held right on the river at Findoff Point. And the time is from 1 till 3 o'clock on February 11th.
Okay. Excellent.
We got a ton of prizes. There's a lot of the merchants and the businesses in town in the area have been very generous to us, and we distribute them on the ice. There's a lot of on-ice prizes just for coming. They got $100 for the largest northern, $100 for the largest walleye, and $50 for the first fish that's weighed in. And then they've got cash prizes of $500 for the first grand prize, and five $100 cash prizes, and eight $50 cash prizes.
Oh.
We get tons of winners.
Awesome.
that sounds awesome, Mike. So how would somebody in our listening area go to sign up for this fishing derby? Can you just show up, or is there a registration process? How does that work?
Yes, you can just show up and buy your ticket at the ice, right on the ice there. Or we have all the Knights of Columbus in the Thief River Falls area here are selling them tickets also. So they're very available in the area. And also, if you just come in on the 11th, we'll be happy to sell you one that's right on ice.
So that date again, Mike, was what now?
February 11th.
February 11th. And what's the time span for the tournament, the derby?
From 1 o'clock, we start fishing at 1.
Okay.
So nobody's ahead of that.
Gotcha.
And they're done at 3 o'clock.
1 to 3. Awesome. So now this has been going on for 61 years. I assume you've participated in this in the past before, Mike?
Yeah, I've been involved in it for probably over the last five, 6 years more than I used to be. But even as a kid, I remember coming here fishing with my dad. So
do you clean house every year? Does anyone else have a chance?
There's always a chance.
There's always a chance.
Oh, well, you know, Mike, this is put on by the Knights of Columbus. And so can you tell us, Mike, how you became interested in the Knights of Columbus and what drew you there?
Well, actually, my dad was a Knights of Columbus, and my brothers are all in the Knights, and I was kind of the last one to get involved in it, but I got involved probably about 25 years ago.
Mm. Okay.
And, it's a wonderful thing. Everything that the Knights do is for the community, and we don't draw any money for ourselves. It all goes back into the community, and to the kids and youth and to our parish.
That's fantastic, Mike. You know, we also, we have... we have Robert just joined us, so we're going to have the blessing of having both you and Robert talk to us about this fishing event. So I myself absolutely loved ice fish. And my birthday's in January. One year my husband took me on Red Lake, 9 miles out. Loved it. And so I would really highly encourage anyone in our listening area who hasn't gone ice fishing, it's a must bucket list item.
So Robert, now we're grateful that you're able to join us. This with the tournament here, this is something that's designed for the whole family, is that correct?
Yeah, we regularly have people as young as 2 years old out on the ice with a fishing pole.
Wow.
And I think the oldest person we've had out there in the last few years was about 82.
Oh yeah? Okay, so excellent.
It's for anybody of all ages.
Growing up, I would go to an ice fishing derby in Osage, Minnesota, near Park Rapids, and I remember we'd always have like hot chocolate out on the ice and concessions and stuff like that. Are there different concessions for people as they come out for the derby as well?
Yeah, we regularly have brats, hot dogs, hot chocolate, frozen candy bars. Huh?
Oh, yeah. That's my husband's favorite. Make sure Snickers.
We have a variety of treats that are available for purchase, and we also have a warming trailer out there.
Okay.
So if it is a little cool out there, you got a chance to go duck in and warm up a little bit, go back out and do some more fishing.
What are the chances that it'd be cool in February in Minnesota?
Geez, I don't know.
Actually, the forecast said it could dip and be a cold first week in February.
Yeah, that's not shocking.
But actually, that's not bad because you're going to have a lot of people out on the ice. This cold spell has really helped the ice form.
Yeah.
Yeah. We generally have about 300 to 350 people out there.
Wow.
Under any weather conditions. And if it's a little nicer, it's generally over 400 people that are out on the ice for us.
So, Robert, Mike said that he's going to take home all the prizes. What do you have to say about that?
I don't think so. Mike will probably be out there working and helping us throughout the day, but I think he'll probably be giving away a few of those prizes.
Yeah. How many KCs do you guys have working the derby?
Oh, we... All total, it must be probably right around 100 people.
Wow.
That work this event.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So Mike, what are your expectations for the day?
Well, every time we've had it, it's been a really good turnout, and it's surprising to see the support of the community and the group of knights when everybody pulls together. Oh, you can pull something like this off, and it's been done many years before I've been involved, and I'm just, like I said, I'm fairly recent to it, but it's fun to watch it. And we go all the way from people digging holes in the morning. We get out there and start digging holes and about 7 in the morning. And
so we start digging about 9.
So we start at 7.
they come out for breakfast about 7.
Sure. Well, and then you can kind of test the holes before 1 o'clock when everybody else comes. You ever do that?
No testing.
No. We do have a few people keeping the holes open, pulling out some of the slush so they don't freeze back shut again.
Yeah.
Sure.
Do you guys have any sort of record of what the biggest fish that have been pulled out during the derby in the past has been or not?
I don't.
You can make it up if you want. That's fine.
I don't know, but I know with the one year that I was working out there, they had one that was about 2 pounds
awesome.
Northern.
Mm.
And I know DNR has been trying to restock some of the walleyes and other fish there, so we're not just pulling out northerns. But
sure.
So I'll give our fishermen something to work on.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, it is. It's such a fun family thing to do together, to go out ice fishing, summer fishing. I could be on the lake every single day of my life, and I would be very, very happy. So I think this is just a great event, and what a wonderful thing to enjoy with your family and give back to your community.
Yeah, I do remember it being real fond memories as growing up, going out with my family for the fishing derby in Osage, and no doubt this will be the same for the derby here in Thief River Falls.
Oh, it's always a lot of fun because depending on some of the prizes we get from our local vendors and some of the area businesses that we have, generally try to find out who's came from the greatest distance.
Oh, yeah.
And 1 year we had a young girl from Germany that was out there. She was going to college at Northland. And her friends brought her out there, and they and she actually did catch a fish.
Oh,
they
fantastic.
Made her catch the
awesome.
Bring the fish up, get it weighed in. And
awesome.
February 11th, 1 to 3 up in Thief River Falls. You want to go support the Knights.
Check it out. All right. Well, we're going to have to step away once again, but on the other side of the break, we're going to be back with Father Jerry Rogers about the St. Mary's Mission Church in Red Lake, Minnesota. So stay with us. We'll be right back.